Welcome into the Godly Men Podcast, episode 152, our last episode of 2025. We're here on New Year's Eve, December 30th. Really looking forward to 2026, Joe. Hard to believe we are about to finish our third full year of the Godly Men Podcast.
That's incredible.
Whether or not you're a first-time listener, a relatively new listener, or a long-time faithful listener, thank you so much for joining us. We've had a very fun last two episodes. Of course, 2 weeks ago, episode 150 with Jack, the Ask Me Anything.
Just kind of celebratory
episode. Yeah, thank you for sticking with us. Our longest episode to date. And then last week was a lot of fun, too. The Christmas holiday gift-giving episode, which actually turned out to be a lot longer than I was thinking when I edited it. It was like 40-something plus minutes. But really good, hopefully, tips for gift-giving. It was a lot of fun. Did some Christmas stuff at the end. So hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. Hope all of you are looking forward to the new year. This is Joe and I, one of Joe and I's favorite times of year, most of the time for a very specific reason, and that is goal setting.
Yep.
And so I'm going to turn it over to Joe to maybe get into some introductory thoughts that he has on goal setting. All the way back, episode 2, we did an episode entitled Set Goals for Yourself that covered probably a lot of the same stuff that we're going to cover today. But to be honest, it's been 3 years. We've grown and matured, hopefully, in the last 3 years since that episode. That was also our second episode ever, so I'm sure we've worked out some kinks since then.
Hopefully, yeah. Looks a little better in the background.
If I remember right, Joe, I think we recorded that episode the morning that we were supposed to leave for a vacation. I don't know if you remember that, but I had to edit it in Florida on our Florida vacation. So we're 3 years past, so we're going to revisit. Joe and I believe goal setting is some of the most important things is one of the most important things that a godly young man can do. Joe, what thoughts do you have as we get into goal setting?
Yeah, I love this time of year, as Will said, because, you know, leading up to the end of the year, there's just this rush to the holidays, gift giving, family time, everything. It's great. It's great. But then the week in between is very interesting, because it's like, okay, it's not the new year, but we're past the holidays.
Kind of like dead space.
Yeah, kind of a dead space, exactly. Like, you want to go Christmas, New Year's right immediately, but you have this week. I love this because this is an opportunity, especially first couple weeks of January as well, to get set. And the idea of setting goals, looking toward the future and saying, this is what I want the year to look like, is an exciting time. A lot of people are cynical. A lot of people go, well, you know, I've set goals before, just never went anywhere. And it's like, there's a lot of things I've done before that didn't necessarily work the first time, or I had to adjust or whatever it is. We still set them. It's still really important to say, this is what I want the year to look like. And there's an ownership level of your life that is taken when you do say, this is what's important to me, this is where I'm going in my life, this is the direction, the trajectory, whatever you want to say. Like, there's an ownership level of saying, I'm in control of, God's ultimately in control, we know, but I'm in control of this part of my life to the point that I'm going to be a better person by the time this time arrives next year than I am right now.
Yep.
That's exciting. That's exciting. If you knew you were about to go on, you know, at your job, you're going to have a year-long training, and at the end of the year, you're going to be much more equipped, I think there'd be an excitement. It'd be daunting, sure. There'd be a lot of work involved, but it'd be exciting to think the end result, same way as going to college. I know in 4 years, I'm going to walk out with a degree and start my career. That's exciting. We get the opportunity to do that. And you could set goals any time of the year. This is a great time.
It's just a natural time.
It's a natural
time. I would go so far as to say, like, if that doesn't excite you, like the idea of progress, the idea of growing as a person, maybe check yourself a little bit.
Yeah,
I do think every godly young man should feel some sense of excitement. I like that word, excitement, about growing and setting. And I know the phrase, that's why we're not calling it New Year's resolutions, because there's such negative connotations with New Year's resolutions. It is goal setting. And so, you know, New Year's is just a great time to do that. And so just some stats real quick to kind of get into as we get into. We've got four different main areas that we're going to talk about with this episode. So in 2024, only 3 in 10 Americans made a resolution.
That's crazy.
In 2024. Feels very low to me. Yep. Basically less than a third of Americans even put forth any written down thing that said, hey, I want to grow in this way. My age bracket, close to Joe's age bracket, he is slightly out of this. Adults ages 18 to 29 make up the biggest group that made at least one resolution at 49% in 20. So basically Gen Z.
1 and 2.
49%, 1 and 2. So I feel like that's a lot better. That's good. Interestingly, this was the interesting stat to me. 80% of goal setters feel confident that they can stick to their resolutions throughout the year. So 4 and 5 think, hey, I can do this. But Joe, get us into the last one that ties it all together.
Recent research has shown that just 9% of Americans actually keep their resolutions throughout the
year. Less than 1 in 10.
Less than 1 in 10. So 3 in 10 set the goals, and less than 1 in 10 of those, if we're going off of this statistic, actually stick to
their goals. But 8 out of 10 think they can.
But 8 out of 10 think that they can. But for those that think that they can't, I just think they don't make goals. And so everybody goes in with the idea, yes, we're going to stick to our goals. And that's what we're here to do with this episode, is Yes, we had number two. Episode number two was set goals. It's really, really important. We want to revisit that, as Will said, you know, been 3 years, but also on why it's important and hopefully a little tips and tricks as to how to achieve those goals going into the new year, because we're big believers that growth is a natural part of a godly man's life. If you're not growing, you're kind of going backwards. Sure, there's times where it's important to just, you know, stop and smell the roses type of thing, but by and large, we ought to be people setting goals. And so, Will, get us into why you think goal setting is important. If you know, you're trying to sit down across the table from a young man and he's saying, I always fail, you know, it just doesn't ever go my way. What would you tell him?
So the first one, we got a list of five here of why is goal setting important. The first thing is because it just kind of gives you the perspective that you're going to fight against stagnation. Yeah. Kind of what Joe was just saying. So stagnation, I'm going to kind of stay in the same place, not really move anywhere. Goal setting forces you to kind of fight against that mentality. It can be very easy sometimes to... And we've had episodes before about contentment versus complacency and all those things. We want you, you know, you should be content. Contentment is a very biblical concept, but contentment does not mean never growing. Like, contentment is just, I'm very grateful for what I have. I'm not going to, you know, be greedy and demand God give me more. That's what contentment's all about. Stagnation is like, I don't want to learn anything else. I don't want to do anything else. I'm good where I'm at and leave me alone type of thing. And goal setting really forces you to have the perspective of, I'm going to fight against stagnation. I think Joe always says, like, stagnation is basically death, essentially. Yeah. And I think about it in terms of money, like inflation. If you make the same amount of money now that you made 5 years ago, you are actively losing money. Like, you're actually making less because of the cost of everything has gone up. That's why people get, like, cost of living raises in some places. And so, yeah, it's just fighting against stagnation, which is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, we have that it gives direction for life. Our favorite, one of my favorite phrases, run to and not away from. You just got to know where you're going in life. There's this, like, I'm sure we know people like this, and I suppose there's been times in my life like this where I feel a little meandering, kind of wandering.
Floating, kind
of. Yeah, floating a little bit, like, don't really know what I want to do. You know, I'm just letting every day kind of happen and seeing what comes of it and try to make the best of every day. And because there's, like, no direction, it just feels like the direction is backwards.
Yeah.
That it goes to the stagnation point, but it goes to, like, all of the goals and the things that we talk about of rhythms and structure and habits and things like that, they're just actively dying because you have no set direction in life. And goals are an attempt to set your life on a trajectory of, that's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You think about something, we talk about multi-generational faithfulness so much on the podcast. How in the world do you hit that without having goals? The goal has to be bigger than you. The goal has to be beyond you. And the multi-generational faithfulness is not happening for somebody who's just floating around. Hey, you know, maybe I read the Bible to the kids, maybe I don't. Maybe we go to church, maybe we don't.
If you want your kids to be faithful, you better have a plan.
Correct. You have to set goals and have a direction in life that, okay, you may not hit it all the time. At least you know where you're going, rather than just blindly, well, we'll just see where it takes us, because where it takes you is going to be backwards.
That's great. I don't have a lot to add there. The third one, why is goal setting important? It's because it forces self-examination. It actually forces you to sit down and say, where am I falling short? Where can I improve? Areas of opportunity is the corporate-y business term for it, right? You don't say strengths and weaknesses. You say, what are your strengths and what are your areas of opportunity, right? It's kind of a big phrase at Chick-fil-A. But it forces you to self-examine. If you never set goals, then you're probably much less often actually sitting down and examining your habits, your routine, your walk with God, your finances, all these areas we're going to get into later on. You never stop to take inventory of that. You never stop to examine and say, man, where could I squeeze a little bit more juice out of this? Where could I, maybe I'm doing okay. How can I go from good to great? Or how can I go from bad to mediocre in this area? You know what I mean? And so that's something that I think is very important for you to do often, self-examine. And goal setting just really kind of forces you to do that.
I don't think there's anybody in life that couldn't benefit from goals.
Yes.
You know, there's never a time where you've arrived and it's like, I'm good. And you kind of see this with people that retire. They get to 60, they get to 65, their goal was to retire, and then it's just kind of aimless.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah. Right, and so many of them health-wise go downhill, mentally, they, you know, big cognitive decline, because they don't stay busy and they have really no other goals other than play with the grandkids, you know, watch some TV, sit there and watch Fox News and just kind of like go downhill. That's not a goal, and you lose the zest for life, you lose, you know, and there's no self-examination to go, what is my life about now and what areas could I grow in? Okay, I grew to the very peak in my job and I retired and it's great. What do I do with it now?
Yeah.
And that's the self-examination we're talking about that, you know, it just allows for this time. So I think that's great. Number four, it's very masculine to strive for something. Strive for greatness was number one. Goal setting is number two. Yes, greatness is goal setting. Nobody just gets to greatness by once again meandering there or just by never self-examining themselves, bebopping through life. Yeah, it's a masculine thing to say, that's where I'm going. I'm going to go get it. Anytime you see somebody that gets a gold medal or something along those lines, or somebody that accomplishes anything great, they had a goal to get there. It wasn't like Michael Phelps woke up one day and was like, I'm just really good at swimming. Let's go try this. And put me in an Olympic pool and we'll see how it goes. It's like he set the goal of that's where I'm going to go, and he works his tail off to get there, and he accomplishes great things. That's masculinity. That's what, you know, us men should be striving for.
And the inverse of that, if you don't want to strive for anything, it's not very masculine.
Right.
And so, again, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on maybe people who aren't quite as big into goal setting, but as Joe already said, I think everybody needs to do this. I think everybody could benefit from it. And if you're a guy who's like, oh, it doesn't appeal to me, it's not super masculine. And so take that for what it's worth. Number five, as far as why is goal setting important, is because it is a catalyst for serious growth. If you want to grow, Joe said it very well just now, it kind of starts with goal setting. It kind of starts with looking ahead, having a vision. Where do I want to be? Where do I want to end up? And kind of, you know, work your way there, or in your kind of planning process, work your way backwards. Like, if I want to be an Olympic gold medalist, what would it take to get there? And then just start working your way backwards. If I want to make this amount of money, if I want to take or have this job or whatever it is. And so goal setting just can be a catalyst for serious growth, which is an extremely positive thing for anybody in life, especially godly young men. And so, yeah, those are our five reasons. Anything to add to that last one before we move on?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so let's get into some tips for goal setting. Joe, I'll let you kick us off here.
I love your phrase here.
I forgot that I put it in
later. No, you're good. Number one, identify biggest areas of opportunity. We talked about this in episode 150, and there's a question on like turning your life around.
Yes.
And I'd mentioned the 12 steps. In any 12-step program, first step is admitting you have a problem. It's kind of more, there's more words to that than just that. But it is admitting that you have a problem, and this is exactly it, of being able to sit down, the self-examination you talked about, and going, what are my areas of opportunity? And by that, the areas that I think I need to grow the most. You may be flush with cash. Financially is not a goal necessarily that you need to hit. But if you're 300 pounds, you know, 5'2 and 300 pounds, and you're flush with cash, you may be compensating by having a lot of cash. Maybe the goal might be, this year I'm going to slim down a little bit. I'm going to put the money on the back burner for a second. Still try to hit goals there. That's fine. But I'm going to focus on areas of opportunity to say this is what is most necessary in my
life. What's hard for people, this and the self-examination, is you have to come to grips with the fact that I'm not everything I could be.
Right.
That I am falling short.
Yep.
That I am overweight. That I don't spend enough time in the gym. That I don't spend enough time with God. And it's hard for people to come to grips with that reality versus just kind of, if I don't think, it's kind of like the, if you don't think about it, then it's not going to bother you, right? Like, you know, just out of sight, out of mind. Versus, man, I need to come to grips with the fact that I don't read as many books as I should. I eat like garbage throughout the week. Like, it's difficult for people, but that's where this, just sit down and kind of identify where can I grow. Just like in business for me at Chick-fil-A, like, it's more fun to look at the numbers in the green than the numbers in the red, right? Like, I don't like to think about the negative results. However,
doing great.
Those are the areas that need to be improved. So that's big.
Well, let me say this about that, though, that I'll add. One of the struggles is when you look across and you're not happy with anything. And I've hit this before where it's like, and you know, we talked about this, I think 3 years ago. My biggest issue was I wanted to change 12 things at once.
Yeah.
And so we'd set goals.
Eight goals.
And literally I'd have like five goals. I'm going to hit every single one of these. It was too much.
Burnout.
And yeah, you hit burnout. And that goes to your number two, mm-hmm. Be specific about your goal. It is important to look at, when we talk about areas of opportunity, the reason we said identify the biggest areas of opportunity, there may be a dozen areas of opportunity, and I look at my life and go, man, I want to be better here, 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 here. You're going to have to be specific and pick one or two at a time to really work on those things. So I'm going to set the goal for all of them so I have a direction for where I want to be, but then I have to be very specific about what goal do I want to hit most. You know, first, what do I think is going to build or help build the other ones? Second, what's most pressing? What is the thing that if I don't get this done, I'm going to be super upset about it? And then you got to be specific where it's not just some vague, yeah, I want to lose some weight. Like,
grow
it doesn't everybody.
To God.
You're right. I want to grow closer to God. Doesn't everybody. Like, if the goal leads you to go, doesn't everybody, that means it's not specific enough.
Yeah.
It really isn't. You have to get into it where it's like, that's a masculine goal. That's something that I'm going to achieve that is really going to propel me in the right direction. But a closer walk with God, doesn't everybody.
Right. I mean, the example, I'm so big on this one. Like, an example would be, I want to be better with money. As opposed to, I want to stick to a budget every month and save $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Those are the same goal, just very put very differently. I want to eat better. Doesn't everybody? As opposed to, I want to be in a caloric deficit, or I want to lose a pound a week or whatever it is. It's much more specific. I want to go closer with God is the same, or like the alternative would be, I want to spend 30 minutes a day in God's word and in prayer. Be specific about it. It really, really is important. The third thing tied to is put a time frame on it. Every day, every week, every month. Is this a by the end of the year I want to be XYZ? Or is just kind of, oh, you know, whenever, I guess whenever it happens. Like, put a time frame on it. For most of my goals, are typically weekly / monthly goals of like, I want to do this many things per week, this many things per month. Daily is hard, but even like obviously for like Bible reading and prayer, this amount of time every single day. Just put this is tied to the specificity of like it's very measurable, but it's also there's some kind of a time frame on it. So what you don't want is to get to the end of XYZ and kind of be struggling to answer, did you hit your goal or not?
Right.
Typically, the reason people don't know if they hit their goal or not is because their goal wasn't specific enough and there wasn't a time frame. The specificity in the time frame adds very black and white, like you either hit it or you didn't. You either did lose a pound a week or you didn't. You either spent 30 minutes a day with God or you didn't. You either saved $1,000 a month or you didn't. So that's where there's value there.
There's that SMART acronym, and I can never remember what it is.
Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, which is the same as achievable, maybe not, and then timely.
Timely.
The one I can never remember. I think it's realistic.
That sounds right.
You keep talking.
So, you know, but yeah, that idea of SMART goals, I think there's obvious relevance to that. But the timeliness is a big one, because I set the goal for the next year. I've got several goals for the next year. One of them is going to be, I want to finish my CSAT training, certified sex addiction therapist. I'm finishing that training. I've already taken module one. There's three modules that are going to be offered in this next year. My goal is to hit all three of them. That means there's a financial piece, because each module is $1,500 or $2,500 or something along those lines. There's a financial piece. I got to be thinking about that. I got to be thinking about how to structure my time, because it is half a week that's taken up where I'm not going to be able to do clients. And so you have to think about these things ahead of time. The goal itself is by the end of the year, but within that, there are a lot smaller goals that every month I'm going to have to, that I'm going to have to hit.
Relevant is the R, by the way. It's not really, it's relevant.
Relevant. Okay, there you go. So yeah, look up SMART goals and it'll show you. But the last one we have on here, number four.
This is for goal setting.
For goal setting. We're about to get to goal achieving, but for goal setting, make it challenging, make it realistic. So that's where the R
may
be relevant, but I like realistic more because relevant's good. But making it realistic, this is where I got into the problem, is I would set goals way up here that were just, it just wasn't going to happen. I'm going to lose 30 pounds in the next 2 months. It's not happening. It's got to be realistic.
You are a regular sleep-in person, and I think one of your goals was, I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. 5 days a week. It's like, wow, right. That is just kind of insane. Sure enough, Joe struggled with that.
Because you don't go from 0 to 5.
Right. Now you look back at that and you've seen some serious progress with that. But at the time, when you're sleeping until 8 every day or whatever it was, it's like, waking up at 6 or... the gym thing. Guy never works out. I'm going to be at the gym 5 days a week. No, you're probably not.
Right.
That's just an unrealistic goal. But the other end of the spectrum is sleep too late every day. I'm going to be up at 7:45 every day.
Like, right.
Okay. That's really not that challenging. Or the gym thing. I'm going to go to the gym twice a month. Like, okay.
Right.
Anybody can do that. And so it's really difficult because this one's kind of obvious of like, you want it challenging but realistic, because that's different for everybody. And so it's... I think it's very difficult for maybe us to say, like, specifically for a certain goal, this is too... But I think deep down, if you look at your goal and like, that's kind of a slam dunk, then make it a little more challenging.
Well, this goes to the self-examination point. If you're self-examining, then you know what I am capable of and what's really going to stretch me versus, like, it's not possible or, I could do this in my sleep.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there is a thought to set some easier goals on the front end that you can hit very quickly and get in the goal setting process. So if you want to wake up at 6 and you're waking up at 8 right now, split the difference. Okay, I really want to wake up at 7 and consistently start working at getting up at 7. And one day a week, I'm going to get up at 6. So I kind of get in the habit or whatever it is. And so it's a lot more achievable rather than the huge jump of 5 days a week or even like 2 days a week, I'm going to get there. It's still pushing it, but you're setting a much more achievable goal that is on the easier end. Maybe you're not pushing yourself a ton, but you get in the habit of hitting your goals, and it feels really good to be like, check, got that one. All right, now let's take it a level down. Where most
it's
people
like the
fail,
snowball method for Ramsey.
Exactly. Yeah. Where most people fail is they will either set really easy goals, hit it, and stagnate and be perfectly fine with it. They never go to the next one. Or they shoot for the moon. We're trying to find that balance in there. And so if you can incrementally get a little better as the year goes, as the month goes, as even as the day goes, if you're incrementally getting better, it may be really encouraging for you to see a lot of your goals get hit that are on the easier end, and that ramps it up to the harder.
I was going to ask you, this is not on the outline, which way should you lean? Should you lean on the more challenging end, or should you lean on the more, call it less easier end?
I would say it depends on the type of person. I don't know what your thoughts are. I'm curious your answer to that. Because I feel like it depends more on the person. If you are a self-driven person that's just really good at usually then hitting your goals, lean more challenging. If you have a tough time with life, you've been depressed for the last 6 years.
Tough time with life.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like,
that's great.
You're living in your parents' basement at,
Not a lot of motivation.
You're eating horrible. Your life is kind of in shambles. You don't like your job or whatever it may
basically
be.
Basically, if you're a loser, then lean easy.
Start small. Oh, areas of opportunity, right?
I know that none of the listeners are losers, of course, right?
Correct,
everybody's in the other camp.
Everybody's going for the other one. But no, I mean, I really do think that there's wisdom in saying you can't go from 0 to 100, but if you're already at 50, going to 100 is a lot easier.
Yep.
0 to 100 is tough, whereas you say, let's get to 20, get up to speed, and then get to 30, and then get to 50, and then get to 70, and, you know, and so it's like you can slowly build. But some people are already cruising. They're already good at it. They already know, I've got it internally. I feel good about my ability to get this done. I mean, so that'd be my answer. What are your thoughts?
That's really good. I think that's a really good summarization. My gut says lean more challenging. There's that phrase of like, I'd rather aim for the moon and miss than aim for a puddle and hit it every time. Mm. It's like, I like that. And the other thing that I think is good for if you lean a little more challenging is, let's say you don't hit your goal of the 6 a.m. thing. But man, like for you, in 2 years, probably less, you had a very consistent getting up early routine. You might not have technically hit your goal, but because it was so challenging, you got a lot of the way there versus if you had set a easier goal, you probably wouldn't have gotten as far as you got.
Right.
And so maybe more progress is made. But the downside of that is, like, it is discouraging to just time and time again not hit your goal.
Right. And I ran into that quite a bit.
I think your summarization of, like, it kind of does depend on what kind of person you are is pretty good based on whether you need to lean that way.
Which goes to the self-examination again. You got to know yourself. Be realistic with yourself more
than
anything.
Okay, so tips for goal achieving. All that was on goal setting. Yep. The first one is a godly young man's staple for goal achieving.
Yep.
Conquer your mornings. Conquer your mornings.
Why is that so important?
So the reason that I'll get to why it's important for the goal achieving here in just a second, but just why conquering your mornings is so important, which episode, it's within the first 20. I don't remember. I want to say
was it really?
Within the first 10 that we did conquer
goodness.
Your mornings. That was an idea. You had great episode. But it's because if you can start your day, first of all, kind of pedal to the metal and get going. You achieve more. You're more productive before the day is started for some people. But also, you get some little wins. You make your bed. You spend some time with God in the morning. Maybe you get a workout or whatever. And you're cruising. You're going to work, going to school. And your brain's just moving. You're kind of in like a rhythm. Versus the person who's kind of a sluggish start to the day. And kind of, let me wake up. 9 o'clock rolls around. I haven't really done anything productive. You drag later on throughout the day versus, I mean, I've seen this in myself. I used to love sleeping in. Don't ever do it. Literally ever do it anymore. 7 o'clock is sleeping in for me. But I remember, like, I would sleep in, get a ton of sleep, and I'd be like still tired throughout the day versus getting up at 5, getting up at 6 for work. I'd feel so productive. I'd get so much more done. And it's because you're in that mode of like, I'm in win mode. I'm in let's get things done mode. I'm in productivity mode. And obviously there's times where you don't need to be in that way. Saturdays or vacation or whatever, but like, man, for the most part, conquering – and so the way it pertains to the goals is just about every goal, if you push it off to the end of the day, daily Bible reading, exercising, whatever. There's all kind of, you know, practicing an instrument if that's a goal you want to have or something. At least for me, the more you push it off, the harder it's going to be for you to accomplish that goal versus you just eating the frog, right? You get it done as soon as you possibly can is huge.
Oh, yeah. There's such a mental difference. This happened just this week for me. I really do try to get up in the mornings. Wednesday, I missed the gym because Tuesday night we were at a hockey game, which is where, for all the guys on the Discord, where the picture came from that was so easily memed. And went to the hockey game. It was a late start. We got home at 12:30, 12:45. I was still kind of buzzing, and so I got on, was creating things for the merch, and stayed up to like 2. Really stupid. Don't recommend that. Went to bed. I got up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, had clients start at 10, and then my clients went until close to church time. Went to church, came back, we podcasted. I literally had like less than an hour of my day in the morning was the only time to accomplish hardly anything else. Horrible day overall. Now, clients went well, church was good, all that stuff. But it was like I can feel the difference. Whereas Thursday, Friday, much different days. Up early, I was out of the house by 5 or 6 o'clock maybe. Both days, didn't hit the gym, had a couple other things, errands to run. But completely different days, because in the morning I was clear-headed, I was focused, had some time to pray, had some time to really focus on some things and kind of meditate and think on different things, and journal on Thursday morning. Changed the day completely.
Yeah.
So just in this, not to beat a dead horse, but like the conquering your mornings, if you have not conquered your morning or attempted that, you got to do it. You got to try for 2 weeks to say, what do I want my mornings to look like? And then I don't care how much, you got to just will yourself to get there. Try it for 2 weeks and see how you feel.
Yeah.
It is life-changing to get up early, to have a really consistent bedtime routine. Even when I go to bed at 1 and wake up at 5 or 6, though it's not good for you and you can't sustainably do that, I still feel better than if I sleep in until even 9 or whatever it is and try to get that 8 hours of sleep. So
the 5 a.m. club that we've referenced before.
Yeah, great book.
Bit unrealistic. I still would recommend the book. Man, he talks about that first hour, 20 minutes exercise, 20 minutes reading or you know,
reading,
basically, yeah, broadening your horizon, then 20 minutes of just like either prayer or meditation. That's really good. Like if I had a job where I could do that every, I probably would.
Yeah.
I'm sometimes at work at 5:30 in the morning, so it's not the easiest thing in the world. But still,
conquer your mornings.
I like that idea. Yeah,
yeah.
Conquer your mornings. Joe, guess number two.
Number two is bite-sized pieces. It's something that I just added at the last second for goal achieving. Is you set these big goals right for the year, and it says, I was saying about the CSAT, I have to build that into bite-sized chunks to get to that point. What do I need to do for here to here to here to here? So I've explained this to a couple clients recently, actually, of in Atomic Habits, great book. If you've not read it, go get it, James Clear. And he talks about Keystone Habits. I think it's in that one. Power Habit, Charles Duhigg, is a really good book. I think Keystone Habits is in Atomic Habits. Either way, read both of them and then come tell me. But the idea is, you know, if you want to establish it like a really good morning routine, okay, I could say, let's get up at 6 and then, you know, go hit the gym. No, okay, the goal is I want to hit the gym. I want to get up early and hit the gym. So what do I have to do to make that a reality? Well, I know I'm going to have to lay my clothes out first thing, or lay my clothes out the night before, set the coffee pot the night before, because I'm going to want coffee going into the gym, kind of wake me up, or have my protein, whatever it is, my pre-workout
right, yeah,
ahead of time. Okay, I know I'm also not going to be able to get up at 5 a.m. if I'm going to bed at 1 a.m., so I'm going to have to back that up, okay? So I need to be realistically in bed by 9 p.m. Well, why am I not in bed at 9 p.m.? Because I'm on my phone till late. The Keystone Habit is put the phone down. Set a timer and put the phone down.
And that's what helps you go
to
the gym.
If you get that, then you'll get in bed on time. If you get in bed on time, you'll wake up on time. If you wake up on time and you did the things in the night before to establish, you're going to go to the gym. You laid out your clothes and everything else. And everything flows from you putting your phone down the night before. That's what we're talking about in bite-sized pieces. You make these big, bombastic, you know, great goals. Fantastic. That's great. Shoot for the moon, as you said. You need to be able to think about, okay, that really breaks into 10 different goals if we're being honest about it. I want to put $6,000 in savings in the first quarter, something along those lines, you know, before taxes hit maybe for you. I'll put $6,000. It's not like you're going to have just a $6,000 chunk. Okay, I got to break that down into bite-sized pieces. Per week, I'm going to need to be putting at least $250, more than that probably, you know, $300, $350. That's why you sit there per week. Okay, where am I going to pull that money from? Do I have that easily, or do I now need to put my eating out budget to the side and actually start? Okay, now we have more goals. So my goal is eat out less and put this money aside every single week. That's how you achieve your goals. It's got to be bite size.
That's really good. Not a lot to add there. The third thing tied to this, check in on your goals, I would say weekly. Like have a time, at least again, towards the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, where you kind of look back on your week and reflect. How did I do? What did I miss? What were the reasons why I didn't hit my goal? Oh, man, scrolling too late at night. Or, man, went to Chick-fil-A too many times, right? And so check in weekly. If you set goals and never really check in and just kind of, I feel like I'm doing pretty good, you're not going to do as well.
Versus if you
come to grips with how did I do this week, didn't do great. You know, like you've got it tracked. There's some great resources. I was looking at like Christmas gifts this year and like goal setting planners, essentially planners that are specifically for goal setting, where you can basically track your progress and stuff like that. Great. Like at least once a week, I would say check in on your goals.
I love that. I'm going to pick me up one.
Yep.
I think that's great. And the other thing is that's also for the positive. If you hit all your goals in a week, it's like, man, I had a great week. What went well? It's not always just what went wrong.
Exactly.
What went really well? Well, I was in bed on time. I was eating healthy. I was, you know, checked in with my number four accountability group. So number four being the accountability group where possible, it's for that reason, is because when you do a weekly check-in, I would strongly encourage you to text your guys, get on a group call, you know, a group chat, whatever it may be. Discorded, we got a Discord going, an accountability site on the Discord, and they branched off into another accountability group. Like, that's where you're going to see the goals just exponentially get better, is you have people holding you accountable to say, how'd you do this week?
Yep.
Yes, hold yourself accountable. It's number three, weekly check-in. Number four, if you check in with other people and allow that accountability to build you up, they are going to celebrate the really good times. We're doing great, and they celebrate. On the negative times, they're going to be the ones asking you, okay, what went wrong? Why did you not hit that? And then you're going to have to be able to self-examine and go, this is why. And they go, okay, what are you going to do to change that this week? They don't have to have all the answers, but they can at least point you in the right
ask
direction.
Questions to get you thinking. Yeah, that's right. Accountability is so helpful. Number five, just quickly, for tips for goal achieving, is adjust if needed. If you look either side, if your goal is like, man, piece of cake, didn't really even have to think about it, maybe make it a little harder. If you're like, man, I'm just the 6 a.m., I'm just really struggling for this reason, maybe back it up. I'm not a proponent of just changing your goals all the time just because you can't hit them, but I do think adjusting and kind of adapting as needed is something important to do through the weekly check-ins, through the kind of accountability group. Like, maybe you might need to adjust.
Sticking too hard of a goal, you know, to a difficult goal that you're just not hitting, which is my problem when I had 5 goals. I was so committed to hit the goals that I never hit them. You know what I mean?
It's like trying to get through a book that's like just a drag.
Like, right, exactly. Like, and week after week, I was discouraged and I wasn't hitting it. Rather than adjusting and going, you know what? Okay, time out. Like, I need to rethink this and think about what is most important. You got to adjust from time to time. It didn't make me a loser. It meant I needed to go in one direction, and then the rest actually ended up kind of following. And so get specific and things like that. Get us into the best areas, though. You may have more. Comment if you know more. These are the 5 areas that we think would be best to set goals in the new year if you're going to sit down this week and journal about it.
Yeah, I mean, these are, to me, kind of the big 5. Obviously, there's some within this that are going to be a little bit more specific and kind of narrowed in. Exercise and fitness is the first one. So obviously, again, that can be narrowed into diet or gym routine specifically or whatever it is. And so, you know what? Actually, I just thought of a 6th one that I'll add at the end. But yeah, exercise and fitness. Obvious for golly young men. How many times a week at the gym? What are you eating? Pretty self-explanatory. I would encourage you, if you do not have a goal set for 2026, man, set one for fitness.
Yep.
Make it challenging. I'm still trying to decide what mine's going to be. Rachel and I usually decide our goals on our big January trip, usually with Joe and Alyssa. We go out and just kind of talk about it. But so I kind of get like a week delayed start. But still, man, pick some kind of exercise or fitness goal.
Yeah, I love
it. Steps goal or something, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yep, I love it. Number two is spiritual. Spiritual goal could be prayer, could be Bible study, could be family worship.
Serving somebody.
Yeah, serving someone. That's one of my goals for the next year is I want to do more service projects with the kids, especially my 2 oldest, to get out there and to recognize there are people that don't have it as well as we do, and we need to be able to help those people and really, you know, help in the community as much as we can. Maybe that's not spiritual per se. I think there's a spiritual element to that of recognizing the gifts of God. Praying, and as I said, spending time with your family and really working on family worship. Another one of my goals. I got a lot of goals. But that is a thing that slips quite a bit, is something like family worship. Well, for us godly young men who do have young kids, really important for us to prioritize those things for right now, because those are the habits that will build into much better spiritual lives. Not just for you, for them. And that's I got 4 kids whose spiritual lives are kind of on my shoulders right now. That's a big thing, you know, big ask, a tall task, but you got to set spiritual goals.
Yeah. Number 3, financial. Obviously, save this much money. I want to save up enough to buy this thing. I want to eat out less. I want to maybe just start from scratch and get on a budget and just figure out where my money's going, all kind of stuff. Typically for me, my financial goal is typically associated with, you know, having, you know, basically having enough money set aside by the end of the year to do XYZ, or, man, we eat out too much, so I want to take that down quite a bit. That, man, me and Rachel struggled with that for years. Like, we would have $500 a month, which is a lot, budgeted for eating out. We'd blow through that like it was nothing. Interestingly, moving to Spring Hill, for some reason, like, we just, it kind of clicked. Like, our budget is now $150 a month. And, you know, we'll go through it sometimes, but still, like, and so that's usually because that's a discipline thing. You can't really, you have a lot of uncontrollable things in your budget, what your mortgage is, your utilities, you know, insurance, all that, how much you eat out, all that you can very much. And same thing with like fun money or something. If you go to the movies all the time, like something like that, those are generally my financial type goals.
Yeah. We're going to cash this next year for eating out.
And we don't have,
we don't have a, checking account down here. It's in Colorado still, crazily. And so it's got to be through the ATM. So we're either going to set up a U.S. bank account just for that, or take it out of the ATM, and ATM comes at like 200. So basically like It's what you got. If you got it in your wallet or in your purse, great. And if you don't,
you know what helped us is we did a whole month where we just didn't eat out. We said we're just going to challenge ourselves, and we did pretty easily. And so it was like, that really wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to try to do is like go to one nice spot, you know, per month, and then one kind of fast casual type spot per month, and call it a month. Like,
smart.
I want to be eating out 3 times a week when I'm 40, and so I'll wait right now. I can wait right now.
Number four. Is academic / learning a skill.
You can get us
skill.
In the last two, and then I'll add the second I just kind of thought of.
Academic / learning a skill. I'm going to work on piano this next year. We're actually getting my son. We've been researching. We're getting him lessons, and I might take lessons with him. And, learning a skill. Bettering yourself in some way, just because I look around, and I see these guys. It's like, yeah, they're into guitars. They're into building cars. They're into doing all this stuff. And it's like, man, I'm a lame-o. I'm into nothing. If people ask my hobby, it's like work. I don't know, you know.
Golf, sort of.
Golf, yeah. Kind of. One time a month, maybe. I want to have something like this. So learn a skill. Learn a trade. Learn something like that. If you're in school, a lot of our godly young men are in school, set academic goals. Straight A's. You know, I'm going to go straight A's this year. Shoot for the moon, as they say. So if you're getting D's, yeah, okay. Let's get that up to a B or whatever. Shouldn't right. Godly young men, don't be getting D's. That means you're not putting effort in. Get the A's, whatever it may be. So set some good goals. Fifth is life goals. And that's maybe goofy. Maybe that goes along with learning a skill and such. But, you know, I look at life goals as like, so I think hobbies can be a life goal, not just learning a skill, but I think hobbies can be a life goal. I have one, I was saying it off air and now I'm spacing it, of a life type goal. It doesn't necessarily fit into spiritual goal.
They're
or
very much long-term
goals,
I'm guessing.
But yes, some long-term goals. I think work goals can go along with this as well, of just like, where do I want to be as
position,
you know, in
this degree?
Correct.
Stuff like
you know,
that.
My CSAT, that's a life goal type of thing. Like, that's just going to move me into the next one. Yeah, it's kind of academic, but it's also beyond academics and beyond just learning a skill. Like, it's moving to the next thing. Even in business, I have some goals for the next year of getting into social media and such. So business goals, I think, if that applies to you. But I would just call them life goals in general of, I want to be a better person in this area. Yeah. I want to be more of a giving person. Maybe that goes along with spiritual, but those are the type of things. It's an esoteric one, but for anything that doesn't fit, there's life. But you have a six you added.
Yeah, it should have ended with life because that's a good one to end on. But like, personal / like home goals. And so what I mean by that is like getting up early, for instance, like that doesn't really fall into any of these.
Yes, and maybe that's, yeah, life goal. That's
a reading goal, for instance. You could kind of tie that in, but like, I want to be a better reader. I want to read more books. So that, tie that in. You know, I want to, you know, little things, which if you don't own a home or don't have a family yet, these aren't going to be super relevant to you. But like,
I want
to
make my bed every day. Yeah.
Right. I want to leave the kitchen clean. I know y'all were big about that for a while. Like, I want to leave the kitchen clean right before I go to bed. I want to, you know, what? So just kind of like at home goals, personal goals. You know, I want to you talk about family worship, like Bible time with the kids every night, like stuff like that, which could kind of fall into any of them, but like, that's something we did a little bit differently this year. Is we set like, hospitality was the other one. Having people over, like that doesn't really fall into any of these other ones. And so personal / at home goals, I think, is really big. So we said five, basically six kind of areas that we'd encourage. I know we've gone long on this episode. We're big fans of goal setting. I'd encourage you, take some time. I know it's December 30th, but take some time.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
In 2 days, it'll have been the New Year. We'll say Happy New Year, I suppose, next episode. But happy early New Year and Happy New Year's Eve.
There you go.
We're excited for the New Year, truly. I think 2026, I know everybody says, this is the year. 2025 was a tough year for us in some ways. We went through some stuff. Both of us went through some stuff. And 2026 feels like a year that, you know, Lord willing, is... we've come through it and we can start making traction in other areas. And that hopefully means things even for the podcast of areas of growth and things we want to work on. We're talking about goals. We're talking about things that we want to accomplish, where we want to, you know, get to. We talked about in episode 150, some things even on the horizon, maybe in 2027. And so, we love setting goals. We hope you set some goals with us. Share some goals. Jump in the Discord. I didn't even run this by you. I'm thinking about doing a daily Bible reading plan and having that as part of the Discord. Since we have a full year, I'm thinking about getting a plan, maybe even personalizing it with some gym merch or something if people want to buy it, and getting just a Bible reading plan for the year.
Order the Godly Men Podcast notebook off of the merch store for your goal setting. I was going to say we should do a goal setting voice chat too. I was just throwing ideas out kind of off the cuff. That'd be fun to do.
I think that's chat. Yeah, we talked about all sorts of stuff that's fun. A lot of it comes, you know, doesn't come to fruition because time and everything else. We're really going to try to make this, you know, as cool as can be on some of this stuff, you know, getting the notebook. We want to do a giveaway. We talked about doing that for 150. We didn't get to it, but I want to do a giveaway at some time soon. Maybe a hoodie. We got some new hoodies coming in. We got some new designs, things like that. The guys are helping design it, which is great. By the time this drops, you will absolutely have the ability to order a new hoodie as of probably at least a couple weeks back. And so, yeah, we're excited for it.
That's all we got. This has been episode 152. We will see you next time in 2026 for episode 153 of the Golly Men Podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening.